Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We've been talking about Nick Saban all week long, Maggie. I have a friend who's
only been 2 days.
Oh yeah, but I was just saying, and we've actually talked about him a lot over the last 5 months. But I have a friend who talks about Nick Saban his entire life, basically. Well, feels that way too. My friend Monty Burke, who is the author of Saban: The Making of a Coach, as well as many outstanding books that are all available for Father's Day, including Saban, The Making of a Coach, and Lords of the Fly, which is awesome. But he's here to not talk fishing today, to talk Alabama football. Monty, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
What's your reaction to this crazy week with Nick Saban?
You know, it's really odd because I feel like it's a rare misstep for him. You know, he always talks about rat poison, which is the stuff outside of the actual football, which takes your, you know, your eye off the ball a little bit. And he's kind of created it himself here. Now, you know, I think he misspoke a little bit. I don't think he didn't really mean to say, I don't think, that like Jimbo was buying players like in the old kind of bagman way, but that they, you know, figured out some new way to do the NIL stuff. But still, you know, Saban rarely misspeaks. You know, he's always calculated. He usually uses press conferences or public speaking gigs to kind of address an audience that he thinks needs to hear something, you know, whether it's a recruiting class or sometimes his team, sometimes it's the university bigwigs, sometimes it's donors. You know, I agree with Deion Sanders that his intention with this was to get his donors kind of going. Like, you know, look what Texas A&M is doing. Let's do the same thing. But I think in saying that, you know, Jimbo, quote, pays his players, I mean, he got some kind of loaded words in there. I also think it's fascinating. I mean, these are two – sorry, Maggie, go ahead.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say these are two, you know, the good old West Virginia boys here going at it. I mean, you know, they're two self-made guys coming out of coal country. I mean, they were worked together at one time, of course, at LSU. They were friendly. Jimbo has said that it was hard to work for Nick back then as well. They have the same agent, you know, but I think Jimbo gets under Nick's skin a little bit, and I think Jimbo tries to get under his skin. You know, he was the first assistant to beat him, though Kirby and Kiffin had come kind of close. He beat him on the field last year. He beat him off it this past recruiting season. And, you know, he got some recruits, particularly on the defensive line, that Saban really wanted.
Monty Burke is our guest. He's the author of Saban, The Making of a Coach, and the perfect person to talk to today because we're having this conversation about Nick Saban and, like, his psyche. And, Monty, I know that he rarely misspeaks, but he will use any microphone now to rail against these collectives and just sort of the changes coming in college football. How threatened do you think he feels by some of these changes?
You know, what's interesting is that whenever he's railed about something in the past, and this has been kind of, you know, covered before, but like, you know, when he railed about spread offenses, for instance, it was less of a complaint and more of a warning shot.
Right.
You know, he complained about the spread offenses, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got Tua and we got Bryce Young and we got, you know, he does it better than anyone else. But, you know, I do wonder at this time, I wonder if this is just the sand shifts so much on this NIL stuff. I mean, if you think back to when it kind of all started not long ago, it's already changed and morphed into something almost completely different. And I do wonder, you know, he's 7 years old. You know, I do wonder if at some point he's like, man, I just don't want to deal with yet another thing. You know, like he kind of figured it out. And once he figures it out, the sand seems to shift again under his feet. I do wonder that a little bit.
Monty, so Jimbo Fisher said, call Nick's former assistants to ask about the skeletons in his closet. Now, I know for your book, you talked to a lot of people who work with Nick Saban. Was this just bluster, or do you really think that there's skeletons that we have no idea about?
You know, I talked to a bunch of people, and I think I talked to 263 people for that book. So, you know, everybody, even talked to Jimbo, who didn't, by the way, mention anything. So, you know, and of course there are rumors that go around, but nothing that I could substantiate. And I talked to some people who just can't stand the guy, right? And nothing that I could ever substantiate. Now, I don't know if they're all kind of doing something. You know, I just don't know. To me, Jimbo's response was more, you know, Jimbo's kind of an excitable guy. And I think Jimbo's feeling it. You know, he beat him on the field last season. He beat him in recruiting. You know, I also thought it was interesting that Jimbo used Bobby Bowden as kind of the paragon of ethical coaching. That's kind of an interesting person to use, you know, considering all the scandals that Bowden went through. But, you know, to me a little bit, this is like the scorned, not son, but kind of son-like figure. Like when you're doing the same thing your dad did and your dad barks at you and you just bark back. I mean, it's very emotional. Jimbo's press conference was obviously not very scripted and it was incredibly emotional.
Yeah, Monty Burke is our guest. He wrote the book, Saban, The Making of a Coach. When we spoke to Andy Staples yesterday, he said, and that was 24 hours after. Like, you know, this is Jimbo right. sleeping on it. And he still came out and was firing like that, unloading the verbal clip there. You know, Monty, you mentioned it, you know, Saban being 70 years old and might be saying, like, geez, another thing. You know, you mentioned the sand shifting underneath and in the whole sport of college football. We just saw Jay Wright walk away from Villanova. He cited this, you know, as the reasons and the changing for the reason he wanted to step away. You know, Saban is 70, but obviously still as sharp as ever and at the top of his game. Do you think this is what would push him out of coaching and into the media or onto the next venture?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at it, okay, so he didn't have the number one recruiting class this year. Guess which number he was? 2. It's not like he went from 1 to 10 or 1 to 15 or anything like that. I mean, he certainly has lost his touch. If anything, you know, like I said before, whenever he gets kind of mad about something, I remember him being really mad about the way that defenses had to change. You couldn't have big, bulky linebackers anymore. You had to have, you know, 230-pound speedsters as linebackers. And he got him. He went out and recruited these whole, you know, his ability to adapt and adjust is just amazing. And I think that's what kind of keeps him going. So in some ways, though, I feel like he's very frustrated enough for the first time that he really did, I think, step on it and step in it here. I do think that this is yet another kind of like, you know, what else is going to motivate this guy at this point, right? I mean, he is kind of, you know, unequivocally the greatest college football coach of all time. You know, more championships than anyone, you know, still has great recruiting classes, more guys in the NFL, all of that stuff. So, you know, hey, maybe this is just a, you know, maybe like Tiger Woods, he's always looking, and Kobe Bryant, same thing, always looking for something to motivate him. And I, knowing him, even though he is 70, you know, I can see this being more of a motivating factor than something that compels him to think about retirement.
Monty, what about ESPN? Remember a couple years ago he sat in on game day and it seemed like there was a mutual appreciation there. Is that something that would be of interest to Nick Saban?
I think he's great at it and I think he would definitely do it. I mean, I think he, you know, the thing is peeling him away from, you know, everybody obviously knows his kind of philosophy is known as the process. And what the process is really is just a series of tiny little things like making sure that the cafeteria has the right food. You know, making sure that the play sheet for the practice is all laminated. Little things like that. Those are things that animate him. I mean, it's not necessarily. I mean, the winning championship is all like the kind of the cherry on top. But he loves the sort of minutia of coaching a football team and managing a football team. And he's basically a CEO. You know, he manages this entire huge program, which is such a big part of that school. It's such a big part of the South. It's such a big part of really the national. You know, scene. And I think he just loves that so much. So I do think, you know, when he's done, I don't think he's going to go out and just garden. you know, I think he'll want something else to do. He's going to be in better shape when he's done than old Bear Bryant was. If you remember, Bear Bryant died like 29 days after he retired from coaching, but that had a lot to do with the bourbon and the cigarettes.
Joe Paterno, days after he retired, or months.
Did it too. That's right. That's right. But I feel like, you know, I think Saban just likes working so much. He could just turn that. I don't know. I could see him being so great on ESPN. Maybe not as a play-by-play or an analyst, but certainly as a studio commentator.
Monty, we just have a minute left and can't tell you how much we appreciate you doing this. It's been great talking with you.
Of course.
We hear it with, like, Coach K, for example, who just retired, right? He had the successor already. It's going to be John Shire. We obviously saw this a little bit more surprising maybe with Roy Williams. But, who is possibly in the pipeline to succeed Nick Saban?
Well, the name always tossed around is Dabo. Dabo, of course, went to Alabama. That's always – I think if you talk to – if you run into an Alabama fan on the street in Birmingham and you say, who would you want to come in and take over, they would probably say Dabo. I have no idea. Dabo's got a good thing going in Clemson, first of all. Good thing going on. He recruits incredibly well. I know he had a down year or two here, but – it's very hard to follow up these guys, right? I mean, it's like the bar is set so high that you have to wonder if some of the people who are sort of tabbed to be the person in waiting even want the job. Like, is it better for Dabo and kind of his, psyche and his well-being just to stay put in Clemson and keep building there? Or is it better to come over to Alabama and come over with all that baggage of this, all these national titles and this incredible program and sort of have to, live up to some previous glory. It's a great question. I mean, of course, other Alabama fans are like, oh, no, we'll just get Kirby.
Yeah, he's fresh off a national championship. Why doesn't he just come on over? You hear the music there, Monty. We're up against the break. Again, right. Can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Saban, The Making of a Coach. It's a must read. Perloff mentioned for Father's Day as well.
Roll Tide.
Just the best. Thanks, Monty. We'll talk to you soon. Maggie Perloff, we return in a moment. Don't move.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.